for leading us this morning. You may turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Talking about faith this morning. Faith was kind of the overriding theme of the anointing service I was blessed to be a part of this week. And God kind of reaffirmed this topic to me several different ways during the week. And so it is with faith that I speak to you this morning. I believe that this is what God would have us to all hear. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And so, of course, I had to ponder, what is substance? So by definition, a substance, in several different definitions, I guess, one of them is a fundamental or a characteristic part or quality. So a substance would be a fundamental or a characteristic part or quality. So you could say faith is the fundamental substance of things hoped for. Or also, substance can be a physical material from which something is made. Substance, definition of substance here, a physical material from which something is made. So again, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the physical material from which something is made. And it says the evidence of things not seen. And what is evidence? It is an outward sign, indication. Something that furnishes proof, a testimony. And so evidence is again an outward sign, an indication, something that furnishes proof, evidence of things not seen. Proof of something you can't see. Evidence, testimony, bears witness of things not seen. In verse 2 it says, For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I believe, brothers and sisters, this is what we believe. This is fundamental to our own existence. The belief that God made the world by his spoken word. And there was no Big Bang. There was no evolving from soup. God spoke, and the world was framed just like you'd frame a 3D picture. And this faith that we have, that God spoke the earth into existence, is the basis for all our beliefs. This faith in what God did at creation shapes the very core of our being internally, so that the actions of our being externally are very different from the rest of the non-believing world. Psalms 100 verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of his pastures." We who have this faith and do believe that God made us. You see, that fact changes us internally and externally. And Jesus confirms this in his own words. Matthew 19:3-5. It says, the Pharisees came to him, Jesus, testing him and saying, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife and the two shall become one flesh. And many times we've read this scripture and it has confirmed in our hearts the holy union between man and wife. But today let us look at who is talking. It's Jesus. And he tells us in his own words that God made us. Have you not read? Jesus says that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female. And Jesus tells us that God made us. God made you. You were made, you were formed. In many verses and many references, I think of Psalms 139, there's many different references that God made you, he formed you, he knew you in your mother's womb from, I believe, Jeremiah. And this fact embedded in your heart and soul changes how you see the world. It is a lens that you put on in which things look differently. It changes how you speak to the world. It changes how you interact with the world. It changes how you view yourself. Looking at the world and yourself through the lens of God creating you and the rest of the world is vastly different than from how others in the world view you and themselves. Did you know this is called a worldview? The Bible talked about worldview long before it actually became a German word sometime in the mid-1800s. And this is how the dictionary Webster's would define a worldview. It's a comprehensive conception or image of the universe and of humanity's relation to it. A comprehensive conception or image of the universe and of humanity's relation to it. You see, your worldview is not just how you see the world. It affects how you relate to it. Your worldview fundamentally affects how you relate and interact and speak and serve the world. Evidence again this week of our different worldview, where quite a few of us quit working and went to work for others for nothing through mission committee's efforts to serve others. A strange worldview. Notice again, or let's go back to verse 1 again, as we've kind of developed. This is a basis for a worldview, starting in verse 1 again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when we take this substance of nothing other than hope, and we combine it with the evidence of things that we don't see, what do we get when we put those mixture of things together? We get faith. When you take the substance of nothing other than hope and you mix it with evidence of things that you can't see, you get hope. You get faith, sorry. You get faith. In verse 2 it says, and for it by the elders obtained a good testimony. So we take this faith that we have from hope and evidence of things we can't see, and we apply this to the beginning of time. And what do we get? Understanding. Follow in verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And faith is taking something that we do not know and applying it to something that we do, and all of a sudden, the outcome is understanding. Let me read that again. Faith is taking something that we do not know and applying it to something that we do, and all of a sudden the outcome is understanding. Faith can take us actually even deeper than understanding. Faith has the ability to solidify our understandings and even produce the fruit of knowledge in our minds so that we can make truthful statements of belief. Again, maybe this is a little deep. Let me say that again. Faith can take us even deeper than just our understanding. Faith has the ability to solidify our understandings and even produce the fruit of knowledge in our minds so that we can make truthful statements of belief. And again, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And the text continues in this very same verse, in the exact same sentence, with a bold statement of belief. It says, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You know, what we see, the things which are seen, are not made by things which are visible. We believe that. What you see, God has made. Can you see anything that God has not made? You can't do it. Everything that He has set before our eyes, He has made. There's not a thing that we can see that He has not made. In these three verses, we have transitioned from a substance of things hoped for to understanding to a worldview interrupting statement of belief. It says, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The power behind these words are awe-inspiring. The literary genius behind this powerful truth in print could have only come from the one who made our minds to think this way. And it's fitting that we don't know who the author of Hebrews is. Right then, in the midst of this incredible text, the author has taken us from unspecific evidence of hope of things unseen all the way to the concrete factual statement of how everything was made. The author inserts this, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. For by it the elders have obtained a good testimony. And what does he mean? Follow along in verse 4. And by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he, being dead, still speaks. And by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Brothers and sisters, do you want to please God this morning? I believe you do. It takes faith. Here it says, do you want to please God? You first must have faith. Do you want to please God? You must first have the faith to believe that He is God. Do you want to please God? Then believe that He, God, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Let me just say, you can't find God without being changed. Brothers and sisters, when you truly believe that God rewards those who really want to seek Him, you will live differently than the rest of the world. And out of my pen came these little words, and it says, and that makes God happy. And I said, who am I to write that? And so I wrote in brackets, with reverence. Brothers and sisters, when you truly believe that God rewards those who really want to seek Him, you will live differently than the rest of the world. And reverently, that makes God happy. Continuing on with the elder's testimony in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness which is according to faith. And by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars in the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these, it says in verse 13, died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And we who believe can say yes and amen. Our fathers and mothers of faith from the Bible have given us a straight and narrow road to follow. One that we can also, with much excitement, look ahead to the finish line of our own faith. And it's in times like these where we are compelled to remember those from our midst who have died in their faith. Having also received the promises in Scripture and were assured of them, and we watched them, embrace them, and they also confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims as they made ready to go to their forever home. And we think of our brothers John Nisley and Burl Moser this morning, whose testimony, like the rest of those from Hebrews 11, encourage us all to remember that this is not our home. Our brothers read this, they believe this, they live this. With unwavering faith, they fixed their eyes upon heaven, and they received the ability to look beyond death, knowing that this was not their home. They were just passing through. I'm honored this morning to get to wear a Burl's tie. In verse 14, it says, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. My friends, this is a world view. Hebrews chapter 11 is a world view. It's a comprehensive conception or image of the universe and of humanity's relation to it. So how does chapter 11 of Hebrews work inside your current worldview? Does your personal worldview need some adjusting? Does your faith bring you to a point of homelessness? Faith in its purest form should settle into our hearts in the form of hope for an eternity with God, which often and reverently, I might say, should leave us feeling a little homeless here on earth. In verse 13, again, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were assured of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Brothers and sisters, friends and family, do you seek your homeland? If you don't subscribe to Hebrews chapter 11, your worldview will be different. And so will your life, and so will your fruit. The first thing missing will be peace. The second thing missing will be hope. And where there is no peace, there is strife, guaranteed. Where there is no hope, there is anxiety and fear, guaranteed. And now, where strife and anxiety and fear live, that is where you need to carry guns to protect yourself. Be aware of where your worldview takes you. You might sit there and go, wait, how did he get there? Let me go back. I want to make sure you follow this. If you do not subscribe to the worldview as given in Hebrews chapter 11, your worldview will be different, and so will your life and your fruit. The first thing missing will be peace. The second thing missing will be hope. And where there is no peace, there is strife, no doubt. Where there is no hope, there is anxiety and fear. And where strife, anxiety, and fear live, and that is where you have to carry guns to protect yourself and your loved ones. Be aware of where your worldview takes you. Be encouraged this morning that what you think about the Bible affects how you live and ultimately how you die. Some of you here might think that my logical deduction on worldview just went off the deep end, but that's okay. I want you to ponder the deep end. A quick glance through the first 16 verses of Hebrews 11. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. All these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. My heart is that God would be preparing a city for all of us to be at. My desire is that no one from here this morning would be missing in that great heavenly city. And I am thankful that many of us here do own the faith that it first takes to get to our heavenly home. And my prayer is that we would all be challenged to live out our faith even more, to the point that our hearts become homeless on earth. I pray that we also, having received the promises, that we would be able to see them afar off, that we also would embrace them, and that we also all could confess that we are strangers and pilgrims. Brothers and sisters, this is not my home. I am passing through. Your God, it is again with reverence that we can open your word. It is with reverence that, God, we trust that you have opened minds this morning to hear from you, to see maybe just a little more of your heart, God. God, I know that you desire to care for us, and you do. But God, I believe that you desire to care for us even more than what we may be ready to be cared for. God, it takes faith to be defended by one we cannot see. And yet I believe, God, you're calling us to this. God, it takes faith in the face of uncertainty of health. And yet, God, you are calling us, some of us here, to walk that road. God, you are the provider. You are the one that cares. Help us to see your promises from afar off. Help us to embrace them. Help us to confess that we are just traveling through. Help us to protect your word. It is the only thing that's of value enough for us to protect. That's it. God, in all the things that we give us and all of our possessions, be it our wives or our children, the thing that we need to protect is your word. And I know, God, it goes against every manly bone in our bodies. Help us to man up, God, to your word. Help us to be able to walk with you. And give us the grace to do so. And give us the faith that we would be able to confess this is not our home. In Jesus' name, amen. Would the chorister please come and lead us in closing song. And if there's any way you need to respond, the altar is open. Someone will come and pray with you. Thank you.